and welcome back to another episode of the Cinematic Trinity, where we talk movies, games, and TV shows. And this week we are covering the Amy Winehouse biopic, Back to Black. So let's get straight into it. So, yeah, this film, I think, out of the gate, came out to some very controversial and, like, mixed reviews, to say the least. We've seen it, we've literally come out of the cinema, like, an hour ago, and we're giving our thoughts for it now, getting straight onto it, even though we're filming this on the Saturday, and it's coming out on a Wednesday, but...
Whatever.
Oh, well. That's what we do for you guys.
Those are the breaks.
So, yeah, as I say, a lot of people, very divisive, obviously, it does cover Amy Winehouse's life, you know, obviously her sort of rise to stardom and then her eventual sort of spiral downwards, and obviously what happens afterwards. What were sort of our immediate thoughts coming out of the movie?
Well, I went into it with very, very low expectations because I'd heard such bad things about it. I'd heard that it was just complete rubbish, basically. So I thought, oh God, you know, sometimes I don't really like, you know, the singing element of it, as you both know, so I was a little bit worried about that, and I'd seen some videos online of the actress and her performance, and everybody had been slating that, so I was like, oh God, like, what's this going to be? Yeah. But I absolutely loved it. I thought that it was fantastic, and maybe there are some negative things that you can say about it, stuff like that, but I just thought the feeling that it gave me, and yes, I was absolutely bawling my eyes out pretty much the whole way through, but I just think that the whole point of a film, in a way, is to make you feel something, isn't it? Like, it's, you know, it doesn't have to be the most accurate portrayal or the most, like, factual thing. But I just think the way that it made me feel was, I just thought it was absolutely fantastic. I really did. Okay. Yeah.
Kieran, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it covered less about her kind of rise to stardom and that, like, her actual career aspect. It was more kind of a story about her and Blake and their kind of you know, on again off again relationship that's spanned over, like, the majority of her later life. And so I think that's a different approach than we've seen from a lot of biopics that I've watched recently, especially because it kind of, a lot of other ones, they have a bit of a mix.
Yeah.
But you definitely see, like, a clear progression of their career and, like, certain, like, points. Whereas this one, it's kind of, she's, like, singing in, like, she's singing in a bar, and then she's got paparazzi after her, then there's, like, certain things like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't show certain points, which I don't mind. That's not that's not a criticism of it for me.
Yeah,
I think
it's,
you know, it's clearly a choice that they've made to focus more on the relationship of Amy and Blake, which, you know, I think was a good, like, they did it well. And they showed a lot of things, you know, quite real things that can happen in relationships. Yeah. And
I don't think it didn't really feel like a rise and fall, because even though there was a rise, like, it was almost like we were looking at it from, like, her perspective. Like, I think it was just all about her and how she felt, and she wasn't really bothered about... She was bothered about music and making music, and she clearly was really passionate about that, but she wasn't bothered about, you know, making music for, like, you know, to be famous. Like, it was just about making music that she loved, and she was just writing about her life. So we didn't really see that part of it, but in a way, I almost feel like that's maybe how she felt. Like, she was so engrossed in this relationship and just in her life and the issues that she had and the struggles that she had, that's from her perspective than it would have been, you know, saying, oh, you know, she had this number one album or whatever, she had this amazing album, and then it was this another amazing album, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Like, it was just all from, like, her, it was all about her, really, rather than, like, her and her relationship and stuff like that more than anything else, so...
It's more like a love story set, like, with the background of, like, a biopic, kind of. Because, as you say, it's not like Bohemian Rhapsody or, like, Elton John, where it, like, does flash cuts, like, all her performances, and it'll be, like, news reports saying, oh, Amy Winehouse, the new hit in America, or a new hit in the UK. It was all this stuff as, like, a backdrop to her life going on, and it'd be, oh, she won a Grammy, but she's obviously upset with her life situation. She's still not making her happy and stuff like that. And when she would sing, there was always, like, something going on in the background, you know, whether it's like her singing at a club and like Blake's there and she's like, oh, I love my husband so much, I love my boyfriend so much, and he doesn't care, and like walks out. That's like a backdrop again for her own feelings. So I think coming out of it, like, for me, it was very like hard hitting. It's a very depressing movie, like, to watch. It almost like echoed back to when we watched like Priscilla, because like, you can't say you had like a good time with that movie, because obviously it does focus on such a tumultuous and like toxic relationship on it. Like, you know, for full context, I didn't really find much about Amy Winehouse when obviously she passed away. I was still like quite young. I wasn't even like a teenager yet. Yeah. You know, like, I didn't really follow her. I knew some of her songs. I don't know her full like library or anything. So it's not like I went into the movie with like this comparison in my mind of like, right, she needs to do, this is Amy Winehouse and this needs to happen and this needs to happen. I didn't know what to expect. Mm. And because there was such negative buzz online, I didn't know, again, am I going to go into this and think it's just complete and utter crap and stuff like that. But yeah, I came out of it and I thought, it just told quite a hard hitting story, and I think it did that.
It's
stuff.
It's tragic, isn't it?
Yeah. Right. I think, again, there is like, there sometimes is like the typical biopic stuff there, but like not as much as like other musical biopic movies, because again, you do get the sort of starts mid something and then it cuts back to the early career and then it's just, you sort of circles back around ever so slightly, but like not much.
It didn't feel like I was watching a biopic, like when we watched Rocket Man, you know, my favourite film, and like Bohemian Rhapsody and Walk the Line and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like,
I was going to say.
It just felt completely different, but I just think it's because you know what, the whole way through you're watching it, you're kind of thinking about, I mean, or what I was thinking about, me and my mum were thinking about, was what we already knew about her relationship with Blake and her relationship with her dad, and the fact that at the end of it, she succumbs to it, essentially, and she succumbs to those struggles and she passes away. So all throughout when I was watching it, that's all I could think about, was these like underlying things, where it's not like when you're watching Rocket Man and Elton John and he's going through this really awful time, because you know he comes out of it, so it's like, oh god, this is terrible, but I know that there's like a happy ending, whereas this, there's no happy ending. Like, it's tragic.
Yeah, it is like a sense of dread, and there is obviously this movie elements to like elaborate or like foreshadow stuff that's going to happen, like, oh, you like, you know, her dad being like, oh, don't ever get into drugs, like, it's all this thing, you know, movies do all the time, especially biopics, where there is going to be a tragic thing, and it's, you know, obviously it just happened, didn't it? It's just really sad that it did happen that way. And it is, there really is a tragedy to the movie. Like, it is not telling this sensational story or anything. It is just bare bones. She didn't have the best life, even though she was so successful. And it ended in
which
a really,
doesn't mean anything really, does it? Fame and money and which, I mean, success, so it doesn't mean anything really.
Yeah, and again, that's what her whole thing was. She didn't care about the fame, she was just sort of living, putting her music out there, and then it all just ended. You know, very weird. Very, you know,
she passed away.
Yes. I don't want to, like, you know, that is what
you're allowed to say, that it was really sad she passed away.
I know. What did you think of like the casting? Because I know that initially caused a bit of a stir, like, especially me and you saw a few TikToks about Marissa Abella, I think her name is, playing Amy Winehouse. Because obviously it's the whole, they're not like taking Amy Winehouse's voice and her miming to it, even though I think there were some moments in this where she may have done that. It was her, for the majority, singing in her own voice. What did you think of that?
Well, see, you said earlier that you weren't necessarily as into Amy Winehouse when you were growing up. And even now you kind of like know a couple of her songs, but aren't like a massive fan.
Mm-hmm.
I really quite like Amy Winehouse's, like, I don't know a lot about her personal life.
But
in terms of like the music she put out and things like that, I actually really enjoy a lot of her songs.
Yeah.
So, and I say this kindly because obviously she did a really good job considering the circumstances. Amy Winehouse's voice is just so unique.
It's
so hard to replicate. So, you know, I mean, hats off to her, because there were bits where she was singing and I was like, yeah, she's done like really well there. Certain bits where it wasn't, but at the end of the day, how do you replicate a voice like this?
Yeah, exactly. I think it was really brave of them to go down the avenue of just, let's just try and recreate it, but not take the mick out of it, or not like try and do too much of an imitation. Let's just kind of put our own spin on it in a way, but still like nod to her, because it would be impossible to it'd feel like a sketch show of like trying to do Hawler. But I do think that she did a really good job. Like I can't imagine anybody else doing it better than the way that she's done it.
They got her speaking voice down.
Oh yeah, well. Or like the acting. Yeah, yes. Maybe the singing possibly could have been a little bit better. Although there was times when she was singing and I didn't care, you know, I was just transported anyway.
Mm. Yeah.
But the acting, like, throughout from her was fantastic.
I mean, really, that's the sacrifice, really, isn't it? It's like, you might not get someone who sounds 100% like the person, but, like, their acting skills and portraying that side of them needs to be good enough. Because, like, with musical biopics, you can either go, the actor sings and that's the end of it, or you do, like, a Bohemian Rhapsody situation where they mime to the actual singer's voice, or... Because I think Bohemian Rhapsody, he mimed to Freddie Mercury, and they also got an impressionist guy who he would mime to when it was like him singing.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Yeah, so I thought it was Rami Malek singing, I don't know why.
So when it's like him writing Love of My Life and like Bohemian Rhapsody and stuff, and it's him singing, not like the completed song, is an impressionist guy doing a Freddie Mercury impression that Rami Malek is just miming to.
Right.
Whereas this film, it is Marissa Abella singing majority. I think Back to Black and maybe Rehab sounded like they may have taken like bits of Amy Winehouse's performance.
It's definitely not the entire, they didn't do the entire song.
Like, that's why Amy Winehouse. Because again, like, her voice is so unique, and I thought that sounds like Amy Winehouse, just how she talks and stuff. Because it was the clip that surfaced online, was when it was the Hearst writing Stronger Than Me. That scene came up on when they were promoting the film, and that's just TikTok was like ripping it apart again.
They have been tearing it apart.
All these Amy Winehouse fans really
slating her, and I think that's a real shame, because I think that particular clip of her, literally, it's like one line of like song that she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't do her performance justice.
Yeah.
If there's anybody out there that's seen these TikToks and is thinking, oh gosh, she's just rubbish, this woman, I'm not going to go and see this film, just ignore it and don't judge it just off that one clip or the trailer. Like, when you're there and in the cinema and you're sort of feeling it, like, it really, like, it comes across really well. Like, I actually think she did a really, really good job.
Yeah, I think the thing that they were getting at, because it's basically the way she was saying some of the lines. Again, it's this thing where you do nitpick, like, oh, it doesn't necessarily all match up. And is she kind of taking the mick a bit? Because it was all, I'm not going to meet your mother anytime. Yeah. It's just like, what are you doing? Why are you singing it that way?
Yeah.
It's just, you know, again, this is what they've chosen to do. They're letting the actress sing. They're not miming it or anything. So just sort of let them do whatever. They didn't bring on like a musician to play Amy Winehouse. They brought on an actress to play Amy Winehouse. So again, you really have to take these things with a pinch of salt. Like, every biopic, they're not going to be exactly, because if it was, they just bring the person that they're basing the film off of to play themselves. Like, you know, take it with a pinch of salt. But it was very surprising, just the reception to this movie, because I mean, I've got the Rotten Tomatoes critics consensus, because they haven't done like the audience score yet.
And we're so new to this film, relevant. Not even an audience score on Rotten Tomatoes.
So it's sitting at 51% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it is, Back to Black's sympathetic approach to its subject story is an overdue antidote to the tabloid treatment she often received in life, even if the end results are disappointingly pedestrian. So that's the critics.
Yeah, I was reading a few of the things, and I do think that, I mean, critics get it wrong all the time anyway, and there's so many films where the critics absolutely loved it and then the audience comes in and just like, what are you on about? Like, I don't need this, like, you know, fancy film, essentially. I think it's a load of rubbish. And I was reading something in the car on the way home, and it was saying, and a lot of people have said that it reduces her, and what she was most upset about was the fact that she wanted to be a mother and she wanted to start a family and all this stuff. And there's a couple of hints to it in the film, but I don't know how you can watch that and think, oh, it's so sad, she just really wanted to be a mum. Like, that's not, of course, that's an element to it. And there was times throughout it where I was like, oh, that's all she did really want, but that's not what it's about at all. So I think that it's really strange that that is the opinion that, that some people have. I find it really bizarre.
I think it's because the film kind of ends on this note where Amy, like, she's been to rehab, she's come back home, and then the paparazzi are outside the door and they go, oh, what do you think about Blake and his new wife and new baby? And then it's sort of, obviously she has a sort of song in her apartment, and that's when she goes up the stairs, and then it's the cut to black. This, you know, Amy Winehouse died in 2011. So I mean, I was kind of sat there thinking, oh, did she, is, like, is this the day she killed, like, she died then? Did she kill herself because this happened? But I wasn't there thinking, oh, that's derogatory towards her. I was more genuine curiosity, like, is this actually what happened kind of thing. But I didn't think it sort of reduced her as a person to, oh my god, how sad, she couldn't be a mum kind of thing. It was just one more thing she was just, you know, sad about, like, at the end, because she lost a boyfriend, she couldn't be a mum.
I'm sorry, but if you're madly in love with somebody as much as she was in love with Blake, and then they, you know, lead you down this path, they get you to start taking drugs, you're in this whirlwind romance together, you're married, he goes to jail, you know, all that sort of stuff, and then you hear that they're with somebody, knowing that they've got a baby, you just think, do you know what, that's got to, like, hurt.
Yeah, of course.
More than thinking, oh, actually, I'm really sad, I would have loved to have been a mum, I would have loved to have had his baby. Like, it's a different feeling than
and
that.
There's like different points in her life as well, because obviously that point where she was, you know, she was wanting to be a mother, it was because she was in that relationship.
Yeah, with, like, they were married, weren't they?
They were married, they were, like, really in love, and all of those things. And that's going to weigh on her, like, this kind of potential life that she could have had.
Yeah.
But now Blake's living, like, the life that she wants, and it's, you know, it's really difficult when you're seeing, like, someone that you've been kind of romantically entangled with for a good portion of your life, and then they're with someone else, and it hurts.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, and you turn to things to try and, you know, cope with that, and sometimes it's just, as with this, it just...
Yeah, it's no happy ending, is it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So...
It definitely almost treads this line, because I was thinking at some points, like, this could very much tread the line of being very mean-spirited, like, oh my god, look how depressing her life was, don't you feel bad kind of thing watching this. But it didn't go down that, like, it could have done. It could very well have been, like, she going on an absolute bender, did loads of drugs, like, oh my god, look how disgusting, like, her life has become kind of thing, like, really degenerate her in a way. Because, like, you know, Rocky Mountain with Elton John kind of does that, but obviously that's like a separate, that's a musical kind of thing, it's stylized, stuff like that. So you do see Elton John's, like, downfall into drugs and, like, alcohol and his stuff like this, but obviously it sets the backdrop of a musical, and there's obviously some levity at the end because he does get out of that situation, but that's played to, oh look, he turned his life around, whereas this, it could have very much gone in a more negative light, but there it does, like, try and shine these things of, oh, she gets better, and that's the tragedy, really.
Nothing happens in this film, or this film doesn't make me think, god, what a waste of her life, like, I can't believe she did all those drugs. I just see, you know, a very vulnerable woman who was led down the garden path and not getting any support, and that's sad, like, and it's not her fault, like, I don't think, oh god, like, like, just, like, druggy or whatever. It's completely different.
It's the world around her, isn't it? Because I mean, we've seen enough of these biopics about all these massive celebrities and stuff now to know that, generally speaking, their life goes quite similarly into the kind of, like, the drugs and the alcohol, you know, there's always some kind of vice that is that grips them and, you know, stops them from being themselves, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you, like, as you say, you can't really blame her, because that's the world that she kind of got absorbed into. And then, as you say, she didn't have necessarily the support she needed, because her partner was in the same place. And, you know, when you're both in the same place, it's not like you can rely on the other one to try and help you to pull out of it.
Yeah.
Because I think there was a line in this film, it's like, I can't help you to pull out, like, get out of this, because I don't know myself how to get me out of it. So, you know, it's just, you can't look upon her like, oh, you know, she's a terrible person or anything like that.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, she's just human.
Yeah,
yeah,
and that's
absolutely.
That's
and
the main thing.
There's probably loads of, like, when you watch her life on the screen there, like, I don't think, oh, I'm watching a famous person's life. Like, she's
no.
got all this money and look at, she's got all these riches, but she's still unhappy.
Mm.
It literally just looks like this could be anybody who has, like, you know, substance issues
yeah, yeah,
and
yeah,
is
it,
in a toxic relationship,
yeah.
you know.
It was literally like she was,
like
the, it was like she was the town drunk, like, in, because she would just wander around her local town and be like, oh, have you, you know, Amy Winehouse has gone walkabout, have you seen her, kind of thing. And she'd be like, just walking down the street with a bottle of vodka in her hand, and you—it's just that kind of thing, isn't it? It's just people are like this in real life, like not just celebrities.
Yeah,
you
like
do
this
see
happens
people.
Like anyway.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, and like a situation, like if you're thinking about it from like a biopic standpoint, again, just because of how her life turned out and how her story ended, like there isn't that typical thing of like, oh, she fell into a downward spiral, she got better, she released a new album, and then like, oh, it only went up from here. It went up slightly and then just life kicked her back down again. And it just, that was just her life, wasn't it? It was just
yeah.
small victories here, but then like her self-destructiveness in a way got to her because of the vices and stuff that she had. Like, you know, just that's sad. That's just the thing. This film is just, there is just a sadness to this
yeah,
movie
it is, yeah.
compared to other biopics that you may watch. And that might just rub people up the wrong way. It might just be, this is, you know, this is an insult to Amy Winehouse kind of thing, just because it tells the harsh truth of just her story. Like, she was madly in love with someone in a toxic relationship, and like, even though, and you know, she didn't want it to end, kind of thing, even though there were these problems, and she developed these unhealthy habits and like health problems and stuff like that, and it just obviously all culminated in her dying at the age of 27. So it's just really,
yeah,
you know,
tragic. It's just sad. It's just like it's awful.
No, yeah,
it's awful.
So it's like you really have to take it like a pinch of salt when you're watching this, because like you're not, I just don't know what you'd really expect from
yeah.
it, unless you wanted it just to cover her music, like her
I
musical
think if
career
you, if you want an actual like retelling of, you know, all the factual information about, you know, what age she was when she did this and what year she released her album and what happened, like, in
yeah.
chronological order, then maybe this isn't for you. I don't know what else you could possibly watch. I know that there was a documentary. I've not seen it. I don't know how good that is, so I don't want to say go and watch that instead. But maybe, like, a documentary, and probably somebody else will probably make one now, because there's so much talk around her again
mm-hmm.
because of this. But this is just, you know, it's just her. It's like, this is just what she was like. This is what her life was. This is what her relationship was like. She loved music. She loved Blake. And that's, you know, and that's it. This is the tragic tale. Yeah.
And that's the thing with kind of most biopics. It's like, you're not watching this to get an accurate representation of
yeah.
what her life was like.
Yeah.
You're watching this and it's been like dramatically enhanced in some places
yeah.
and understated in other areas. And it's just, to try, like, at the end of the day, this film was created to try and get people to watch it, to try and
yeah,
sell it.
Yeah, yeah, of course. There's got to be an element of that, hasn't there?
So, you know, you can take the things that happened and words that are said, as you say, with a pinch of salt. Because
yeah.
it, you know, maybe it didn't happen in the exact way they said.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
just kind of interpreting things based on accounts from probably her family and
yeah.
things that happened in the press at the time
mm-hmm.
and, you know, all sorts of things like that. So there is like a timeline that you can create from actual real
yeah.
life events.
Yeah.
But then you just kind of fill the gaps with like mm-hmm. what you need to try and make this a kind of sellable film.
Yeah. And a story.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
So I'm sure a lot of people who kind of were growing up and actively into kind of, you know, the gossip at the time and, and, you know, life events while she was alive, they would probably know a lot more and they would be able to kind of watch this and go, yes, I remember that. That
yeah.
thing
yeah.
happened quite like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
But, you know, unless you have an actual documentary where they're saying the facts,
yeah.
you're
yeah.
not going to get
And I think
that.
With things like this and lives like hers, like, it's sometimes it's hard to get the facts because there's different perspectives. You know, there's a lot of talk about, in this film, like, her dad, Mitch, maybe isn't portrayed in the right way, and, you know, the fact that it wasn't, like, basically that, you know, maybe the truth was that he was just turning a blind eye, you know, whereas the film is kind of portrayed that he didn't really know about, like, her substance abuse and stuff like that, and so that's why he wasn't involved, and, you know, he was just sort of following her lead, essentially, when maybe it was, you know, that wasn't quite how it happened. I forgot what I was going to say. How did I start that sentence? What did I start off saying?
It was about Mitch, her dad.
Yeah, like I was saying you can't put 100% facts, and you can't tell it from like every side. You've got to just pick which way you're going with it,
yeah,
and then sort of go from there. And apparently this film is kind of like approved essentially by the White House family and the estate, essentially, yeah,
which so possibly means maybe it's maybe not exactly how
that's
it
why they've got a little bit of
yeah they've got to take but, care haven't they
but We've... I still think that, you know, it's clear that there was a vision with it, and it's clear that they just wanted to tell her story in this way.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes you've got to pick your battles, and it's like, I can still tell the story of her. Maybe there's slight differences with what happened with her dad and what happened with Blake, and whether he did introduce her to drugs or not, even though he did.
Yeah.
But it's, we can still tell her story, even if we have to, you know, make changes to that kind of thing just to get it through the door and across the line.
I can understand that, because, yeah, I'd say it has to be approved by the family members and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's not quite, because I reading up on like Bohemian Rhapsody once I watched that, like just how much historical inaccurate stuff there was because of the story they wanted to tell. Because like they made out that Freddie Mercury found out he had AIDS before the Live Aid performance to try and boost it. To like, oh my God, he's giving the best performance of his life because he found out he's going to die. It's like, no, he actually got diagnosed a few years later. So like, why would you do, like, just for the sake of dramatic effect, like, why would you tell it that way? Just like, leave
and
it as is.
That film is apparently the best film anybody's ever seen. That really
dampened my opinion, because again, that was one where the Queen, like obviously Brian May and Roger Taylor, had some input in how the film was made. So it's kind of like,
because I think a lot of it as well, like, you know, his Freddie Mercury as a person, and he obviously had like similar issues as well. So, and that was all very like dialed down, wasn't it? It was very like tame, whereas when we watched Rocket Man, like, nothing was dialed down. Obviously you don't see every single time he takes a drug or whatever, but it was very much like, yeah, it was like, yeah, this was bad, and this is the same. It doesn't sugarcoat it, but I think that that's good, because otherwise I just don't think it'd do it justice.
And it is like, you know, it does focus on like the paparazzi as well, like the role that they had with just, you know,
which is still awful. I know a lot of people saying like, oh, it didn't focus on his dad, it just turned the paparazzi into the demons, but they were like, you just think, oh my God, this poor woman clearly going through it, she's vulnerable, she's struggling, and then there's people shoving cameras in her face, and I just think it's just so sad, like, it's just horrific.
Like, it can't be understated just how much of an impact the paparazzi can have in celebrities' lives, because it almost seems cliche, but it is just the truth. In like biopics, there'll be a celebrity having a bad time, and then the paparazzi are there, like, at every turn, taking pictures of them.
It doesn't necessarily like cause the problem, but it just makes it even worse, and it means that everybody then knows about it.
Yeah, because even in like this film, it's like she develops her problems, and then it's kind of like, oh, the paparazzi are sniffing around, but then like her problems escalate, and it's like, oh my God, the paparazzi are everywhere now because of how much of like a downturn her life has taken with like her addiction and her relationship and stuff like that. It's not like the paparazzi were there first and it's like, oh my God, now my relationship is bad and stuff like this. It is just, it all just comes together in this like cocktail to just make her life a living hell, and like just makes her problems 10 times worse, knowing that the papers everybody are going to be writing about, oh my God, Amy Winehouse, like, you know, has a bottle of vodka in her shopping and like, you know, is a drunk and stuff like that. It just can't be understated how much of an impact they can have, in biopics, and then also just in general
culture. I mean, if you think about it in like real life terms, when someone says something negative about you, or people are talking about you, and you know they're talking about you behind your back, and just like how that makes you feel, and then you blow it up on like a worldwide scale, like, I know I wouldn't be able to cope with that.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, I can barely cope with like normal people just like talking about my back. The whole world's talking about me. I'm like, no, you know, and like you look at Amy Winehouse and she's very passionate. She's very like emotional. So these kind of things would get to her.
Yeah, and, you know, she clearly wears her heart on her sleeve.
Exactly.
She?
Yeah. So, you know, with that kind of person, it's just like the worst thing. Yeah. And obviously they show it where the paparazzi are there at her lowest moments. And, you know, it's like, oh, they always know when something bad's going to happen. But it's not that. They are just always there. Like, and just having that, like, just... like something, and you know there's something.
Which it's be like, because Blake makes the point, doesn't he? Their apartment, they're like, what are they actually waiting for? And she's like, I don't know. They're just like there every day. Yeah. Some of them like sleep over and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They're just, you know, constantly waiting for like something to kick off or like her to come out and look drunk or on drugs and stuff. So it's all just like, really, like they have to villainize the paparazzi because.
Well, they are the villains, aren't they?
Yeah,
they're not villainizing them. They are the villains, like, and that's just life. And it just, like, when things were happening, like, even though I was quite young at the time, like, I've always, you know, been, I don't know whether interested in the way, in, like, celebrity culture and what's going on in tabloids. Like, I've always kind of been that kind of person in reality TV, stuff like that. So a lot of it, I was like, I almost like remember seeing these pictures like online and stuff. And it just makes me feel like ashamed almost that I was looking at that. And I can't remember what my opinions were at the time. Or I'll still look at things like that. And I just think, God, like, it's actually just like, I should feel shame for like, you know, what's the word? Consuming this like thing that these people, you know,
And that's what it's also there for, again, putting paparazzi scenes in films like this is to be like, oh, because again, it prompts like the audience to be like, oh my God, I remember photos of this incident happening.
Yeah.
Or stuff like that. Because it was just in the public, like the public perception and the public view at the time, like her spiral, basically, like, and obviously all the stuff she was doing. So it is, has to be in there.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's a big part of her life.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did you think of the guy who played Blake and his, character?
I thought he sounded a lot like Danny Dyer when he first came in. That was giving the pop. I was kind of like half like looking at the screen, half not. I was like, "What's Danny Dyer?" I looked up. Obviously, immediately he doesn't look like Danny Dyer. Mm. I don't know why. In my mind, for a second, I thought he looks a little bit like Dermot O'Leary, but not entirely.
You know, there'd be some controversy if Dermot O'Leary was cast in this film,
but. You know, I thought it was, you know, it's funny. It's that part of London, so you know, I thought he was good. To be fair, obviously, I don't really know how Blake is in real life.
Yeah.
So I don't know how good a job he did of that element.
Yeah.
Of it.
But you know, in terms of playing a role in Amy's life in this film, I think he did a good job.
Yeah. I think so too. I think when he came on screen, he almost kind of like stole the show a little bit, and it's like. Yeah. Awful to like think that just because of like how terrible it was, but he did, and it almost makes you like think about what she saw in him, you know, and why they initially got together in the first place and why she loved him so much. Like, men like that, they're so charismatic and they're full of energy and they're really like intelligent in a way and witty, but they're not like that just for you.
Yeah.
They're like that with everybody. Mm. And that's why it's not special, and that's why it's so like awful at times. But it does, like, I think it's a good, you know, it doesn't have to portray him as the bad guy right from the very beginning. You know, clearly he had his own issues, you know, and that kind of is quite apparent, like, right from the very beginning, you know, when they first start seeing each other. But I think it is interesting to like to just see that initial meeting and how she must have felt at the time, because it's clearly like, you know, she's been in the room with him for a couple of minutes and she's like, oh my God, I love him, you know, and that's just like that.
It's like the seeds are like sown and like, you know, she's sort of head over heels for him like instantly, but then his like girlfriend comes in and it's kind of like immediately then just kind of like, oh, I'm a bit hurt by this, and then obviously things just escalate more. They actually end up getting together, then they split up, then they get married, then they get divorced. It's just all a whirlwind.
Yeah.
And then just stuff gets chucked in, like they have domestics, they have addiction problems, Amy's got an alcohol problem. So it all just mixes together and makes their relationship more toxic. And it's just an interesting... And she say it doesn't necessarily all put the blame on him. There is like an interesting bit, which I wondered again, whether that is them trying to like not tread on eggshells kind of thing, where like his mate's like, oh, you should get back with Amy because you have drug debts and like getting
yeah,
back.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I was kind of like, that's interesting because like, again, it's to give him like, oh, he didn't come up with that idea. It's more his mate said, you should get with Amy. Like,
I don't know how true that is.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of get the idea that they are, obviously, I don't know the actual truth surrounding it. I know they have a lot of things saying that Blake was kind of the reason that she got into this, and a lot of people are probably saying Blake is the reason why she passed.
Mm-hmm.
But it did seem like the film was really trying to push those things, like with that scene in the pub.
Yeah.
Which also, I don't know why, it's still stuck in my head. There's a really weird transition right before that scene happens. They're doing Valerie in Radio 1, like live studio.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a transition of the song where it goes into being in the pub and playing in there. And I thought it was the worst audio transition I've ever heard in my life. I literally scowled at the screen. I was like, oh, what? Oh, no.
That's your filmmaking brain kicking in.
But, you know, like the fact that he's kind of like, oh, you know, just drop it. And then he's like, oh, yeah, you should get back with her because of this. Mm. And, you know, like they're kind of saying he did get back with her because of this. I know he's saying that his friend kind of goaded him towards it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's still did that, so he's kind of like, oh, maybe I can get money from this. And then at the end of the film, they do the same thing. What did it? It was with like Blake and his child. It's like they're saying he is the reason why she killed herself.
Yeah, basically.
And you know, that's quite a big
thing. That's what I was thinking. I was like,
and it's like, is that the actual truth, or is this kind of like defamation in a way?
That's again, it's like, can they actually get away with doing that, or can they just suddenly, this is what, like, this is again one reason why she was sad at that time, kind of thing. So it is interesting because again, he's still alive, and he, like, I watched a clip before we started filming this of him last year because it was coming up to Amy's, what would have been her 40th birthday, and he's still trying to be like, look, I'm not the sole reason that she died. Like, I'm not obviously there were problems, but I'm not the sole reason. It's not because of me. Like, it's not on me that she died and obviously had this problem. So it is, you know, interesting. Yeah.
But it puts you, I don't think it necessarily has to be that, you know, I portrayed Blake in a bad light and he was the reason.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes your actions, you're not doing them on purpose to hurt that person, but the person can still get hurt.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that it's your fault. It just means that they have had a reaction. And I think all of these little seeds and little lines, they're not talking about Blake. They're talking about her and maybe the mindset that she was in.
Mm-hmm.
Even though she'd been able to get herself clean, that's why she then started drinking again. And that's ultimately like was what, because I think that's tends to be what happens, you know, people who with problems and substance abuse issues, no matter what the drug is, alcohol or like hard drugs, they maybe get clean and then they start to use again.
Mm.
But because your body's not used to it anymore, you can't drink to that same excess that you used to and be fine, or take as many drugs as you used to.
Mm.
But you think that you can because you're like, oh, well, I used to do this 6 months ago. And I think that's what we see with a lot of celebrities even now who overdose. It's because they maybe go back to what they used to be doing, which they kind of slowly build their tolerance to, and then go back to that same excess. And that's what does it essentially, and eventually, you know, ends their life. And I think that's, because did she kill herself? Like, I don't,
that, I thought that it was just alcohol poisoning, it's kind of,
Reading like a thing, it did say she got clean off drugs, but her problem afterwards would be like relapsing into alcohol. Well, she had
a problem with alcohol before the drugs, didn't she? That was her initial addiction.
So, I mean,
and then Blake got her onto drugs, and then she got off that, but alcohol.
I think her thing would be, I think it would just be a case of going sober and then slipping back into alcohol. So it'd be just going long periods and then relapsing and stuff like that. So it might have caused that. See, I don't know whether it was like a suicide by chance or if it was just she obviously just relapsed and then overdosed kind of thing. It was unintentional.
And you'd never be able to know for sure.
No,
because there is no way of knowing if she started drinking intentionally for that purpose. But, you know, that's all kind of speculation.
Yeah, again, and I can see why some people might interpret the ending of that. Like, obviously, it ends with that line, like, he's got a kid and a wife now. How do you feel about that? And then she goes upstairs, cut to black, she died.
That's very clear.
Yeah, yeah.
The filmmakers leading you to that conclusion.
Yeah, so I could see why some people would have an issue with that and be like, you know, why some people may have an issue with that.
So I just have to Google it about her passing. So it kind of says that about a month or so before she passed, there it was her like final performance, and basically she was, you know, essentially drunk on the stage, slurring her words, and she was rushed back to her hotel. And then a few weeks later, that was when she passed, and it was determined cause of death was accidental alcohol poisoning. Mm-hmm. So I think it had been a kind of it was a decline. Yeah. I think from there, from what I've just Googled.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I wasn't listening to what you were saying.
That's what I mean. Here, we're just chatting away.
I'd have to listen to that.
Yeah, we'll do. Yeah.
But yeah, gosh, that is a hell of a film to talk about. Like, we really, probably the most mature podcast we've done in terms of the actual subject matter of it. Like, even again, like Priscilla was focusing on like this relationship between her and Elvis, but like, obviously that kind of still haven't had a bit of a happy ending. She got away. She got away from Elvis.
Yeah. Whereas she had an entire life.
And she's still alive.
Yeah, it's honestly more tragic because she did pass away. And I think that's why I was so upset throughout the film. And there was times where I could have cried, but I stopped myself. And I just fully burst into tears when, I can't even remember what's happening now, but something happens and then she's with her dad and they go into the, what's it called?
Rehab?
No.
No.
The club.
Oh, the club, sorry.
I can't remember what it's called. Yeah. Mum's going to kill me for not even remembering. But whatever club it was, they go back there when they're like rehearsing and they're just listening and she says that she misses her nan. Ronnie Scott's, that's it. And she's talking about missing her nan and that was just upset. And then she just like starts singing, even though there's like nobody there. And I was just like, oh my God, like this is just like how, like, I don't know if either of you were even like thinking anything, but it just really like, it really got me that she's still like, you know, despite like everything, like she still loves music, she still loves her nan, you know, and like stuff like that. Like, it's just like, it's just sad, you know?
Yeah.
And then from then on, I just couldn't stop crying. I was just like, the floodgates had truly opened. I was just a mess for the rest of the film. But it's all because I was just thinking of like what happens like in the end and that she doesn't, you know, there's no like redemption arc or whatever, you know, it's just, she passes away. So it's just sad.
There's definitely sad points too. Again, like I can't say I didn't get like upset watching it kind of thing, but you're just watching like, oh God, how tragic this is. Like, and just like her whole relationship, like she just really loved Blake and like just for all the stuff they went through, and like she just still loved, like, you know, she just really loved him, and it was just really sad to see, like, even though she maybe shouldn't have, she just did, and like he kind of like, oh, what are you doing kind of thing, or like, oh, bless you kind of thing. You know,
I mean, I just honestly felt like I could just feel every single thing that she was feeling throughout like each step of the way, like when she meets Blake and when she's on stage and when she sees him walking out and when she's with it, you know, like every single thing that's happening, I was just like, oh, well, like I could feel it.
Yeah, like, I did think it might just be, again, like the female like perspective on that. I imagine that does, that hits,
I think that, you know, it's, it is different.
I feel like it, in terms of kind of that kind of feeling that you have for our film, I feel like I'm emotionally aware, but in order for me to have an emotional response, it needs to be something that I can relate to.
So there's
like certain points in the film where I was like, I can kind of relate to that, but then a lot of it doesn't kind of run parallel to my life. So while I can, you know, I can understand that this is, you know, like a really tragic scenario, and I feel for her, I don't necessarily get the response where, you know, I'm like, this is like soul crushing to me. So it really needs that kind of personal link for me to get to
it's that like next level of like, it's like, you know, like I've not been there, like obviously, but like those like emotions around it, it's like, it's just, it's hard to watch, but almost like weirdly like beautiful, like in a way.
Yeah.
Like I know that's like really weird, but
and I can't say anything because I was tearing up at the Iron Giant when you know the end of the Giant.
You
did
tear up at the Iron Giant, didn't you?
I don't know what it is, but some movies. Not to say my home life is crap or anything, but sometimes it's a thing between like you know when it's like dads and like their kids and stuff. Sometimes that gets me. For some reason, the end of the Iron Giant got me, and then the bit in bold where...
Do we want to start talking about this?
Yeah. Oh, here we go. I'll regale you with my...
Here they come.
And then the scene in bold, which I haven't watched for many years, but there's the scene in bold where he's crying, and I don't like it when dogs cry.
That's dogs, though, isn't it? I feel like that would have been more really like tip me over the edge if there was a dog in there. If she had a dog, I mean, even the fact that she had a bird, I was like, oh, that's her nan's bird. Like, I just think everything with her nan, it just makes you think, oh,
yeah.
My God,
there was something we watched like not too long ago where I feel like I did actually cry, and I can't remember. I literally cannot remember what it was.
Either.
Yeah.
Oh, was it quite recently?
I'm trying to think. It was something we watched it at home.
Yeah. Were we both crying?
I think so, yeah.
I don't know. It wasn't the notebook, was it, when we watched the notebook?
That'll do it. Yeah. The notebook will definitely do it.
God, that's an awful film.
Yeah.
Brilliant film. But
I have to like come to us. Yeah,
there was something, wasn't there? I can't remember what it was.
I just remember. Yeah. I was just like, oh god. Yeah,
Paw Patrol.
It was a bit, the bit where I was about to try.
Was it when we watched Ratatouille the other day?
The bit where the rat starts cooking.
It's the bit where the rat and the linguine they part ways briefly. It just.
That's Tulip's thing where people aren't friends. You don't like it when people.
Yeah, I don't like it when people aren't friends. Yeah.
What I'm going to do is look through my Letterboxd diary. So why don't you guys give your final thoughts on the movie while I actually, this should be fairly easy to find. It was Jaws. It was a bit where the shark died.
Terribly sad.
Yeah, no, this is going back way too far.
This is December.
I think it was more recent than that.
I have no idea.
It was this year. It must have been something that we've seen before.
You're trying to date when you last cried.
This is my cry diary.
Let me just find the logbook. It's only one page long so far.
God, maybe it was longer. I have no idea. It might have been
a TV show.
Yeah.
It wasn't Doctor Who, was it?
It was the bit of Doctor Who with the, It was when Rose Tyler goes away in Doctor Who. No, I have no idea.
I mean, I definitely cried.
Oh, yeah, I know you did.
Wait, we were all there, weren't we?
I was there.
Yeah. When it was just me and you when you last cried. Yeah.
No idea. That will be a mystery for another time when you listen to this
we'll
podcast.
We'll find out. What
a tangent to go on there.
Yeah.
Let's wrap up with some final thoughts. What would you score it and would you recommend it?
I can't score it. I'm sorry. I'm not scoring it. You can
I'll compare it to other biopics. That'll be my version of scoring.
Yeah.
You know that I absolutely love Rocket Man. Like, I just love that film. Yeah. If you said to me, Tulip, do you want to watch it right now? I'd be like, yes, let's put it on. I feel like I could watch this again, but obviously because it was so sad, like, it's like Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Yeah.
It's like that was a fantastic film, but I don't want to watch it again because of the animals in it. Like, I would just be devastated. But I think it was as good as Rocket Man. Like, it made me like, I think it's as good as Rocket Man. Obviously, you know, I hate Bohemian Rhapsody. I liked Walk the Line, but it was a bit boring. So I think it's like up there for me with like good biopics and just good films in general. Like, I've not like that, it really spoke to me. But again, it's probably different because I'm a woman and B, you know, lived a life.
What?
Well, that counts
lived
me out
for you guys.
I haven't lived a life. I'll have to come back to you on my review.
It was just awful to see that she died at 27. It's like, God, I'm going to be 27 in a few months, and I would have been exact. Like, could you imagine if I died?
Yeah.
Like, that is just like that. It just makes you think. Like, when you hear that somebody else died at that age, remember that episode of Modern Family where Phil's talking about it? And he's like, oh, when you hear that somebody died that's close in age to you, you want to hear that it's something that like would never happen to you.
Right.
And
it's the same
with like divorce. It's like you want to hear that it was like cheating or abuse or something, not just that you're, because he says that, oh, she just woke up one day and didn't love me. And that was a really good episode of Modern Family. But again,
God, this is very deep too, though.
Yeah. But yes, brilliant film. I loved it. Don't listen to the critics. Don't listen to everything that's going on online. Just watch it and form your own opinion. Because I do think it's really good and I think that you will be pleasantly surprised. And there is nothing better than going to the cinema with low expectations and it being better than you thought, because that's a really good feeling. So there you go.
Yeah, I certainly expected really just not like it, just expected to waste 2 hours of my time. But I came out and I thought, you know what, like again, as a biopic, you know, did the straightforward stuff there. But I liked that, again, there was just a tragic story that was there. I really didn't know at the time, as soon as the credits came out, did I like that or not?
Mm-hmm.
I probably wouldn't watch it again, but I would, if I was to score it like right now, again, just because I'm not a huge Amy Winehouse fan, I'd probably give it like a 7 out of 10, just because, again, I liked the story. I liked, again, just...
I think you're looking at it more as a film and I'm just looking
as an experience, though, I didn't enjoy it as an experience. That is a big thing, though, when I do score stuff, though, I will look at a thing and be like, oh, that's all right.
Well, I do as well. Like, I'll say something's 10 out of 10 just because I liked it, even though it's rubbish.
I think as an experience, I didn't enjoy this film as much as I could have, because it was a very depressing movie. Yeah. I just didn't come out of it enjoying it, so I'd say a 7 out of 10 just because it didn't propel itself into, oh my god, this is great, or like, this was good. It was just, you know, it's just above average. It's just above a 5 or a 6 for me, so it's a 7.
There you go. What do you think, Kieran? What's your final thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of like comparing it to other biopics, I appreciate that it did something different.
Yeah.
Because it is so repetitive at this point.
Yeah.
There was one biopic that I wanted to watch recently, and then that was going to be my last one for a while, and that was Bob Marley's one, and I didn't watch that.
Yeah.
Which I kind of sad that I missed out on that one, because
I would have liked to watch it.
But you know, this was, I thought it was good. You know, I appreciated it. You know, I can relate to some things. I got to listen to her songs, maybe not as they were, but now I can go
and I can listen to
her songs again. So it's kind of like, you know, giving her like another kind of, it's like a tribute to her.
Yeah.
So people can go, yes, Amy Winehouse was like an incredible person that was here not for a long time, but she left a big impact on a lot of people.
Yeah.
Well, she did, didn't she? Like, it's incredible to think that really she only had like 2 albums and then there was one that was released posthumously, if that's the way to say the word. So I just think that, like, you know, 2 albums and to have that much impact is just incredible and in such a short space of time. And I just think it's, you know, that there's nobody else like her at the moment, I think, you know.
Especially not with today's music, because that she was kind of
of
that era where there was still like very... I don't want to like criticize today's music too much.
Yeah, no.
It was still in an era where there was actually really good music coming out that I could listen to and enjoy, and like I could listen to an album and I could actually enjoy the majority of an album.
Absolutely.
Whereas now it's just kind of a song here, singles, and a song there.
Especially was kind of harkening back to jazz and stuff, wasn't she? Like that genre of music, like the old style.
She was just
I'm
doing
a big fan
what
of that
she wanted
kind
to
of
do.
Well.
Yeah, so, absolutely. I just think it's lovely, and I keep saying this about films and singers and stuff, that I just love it because you can tell when somebody really loves music or really loves film, so they make a really good film, or they love music and they love, like, even like Miley Cyrus. Like, I know that she's not like the same as Amy Winehouse in any way, but she does her own thing. She's her own person. Mm. Like, she's been through it, and she just, and I do think she's got an incredible voice, even though it's very different, but you can just tell that she just loves what she does and she makes music because she loves it,
and that's,
not because there's a record label telling
and
her
that's,
to do
it. That's what a lot of people miss these days.
Yeah.
If you don't have the passion when making something, people aren't going to get a feeling from it when they listen to it, or when they watch it or read it, you know. There's so many different mediums, and like the creative sphere, it's so broad, and there's so many things that you can do with it. That when people are doing it to make money, and I know you have to make money, but when that is the sole purpose, and there's not passion behind it, and you know, there's like blood, sweat, and tears like put into something, it just doesn't grip you in the same way.
Absolutely.
And you know, her music, really, you could tell that she was making what she wanted.
Yeah,
and she was really.
Have you listened to any of, you know, Ray? is her name right? She yes. won like loads of yeah. Brit Awards. But you should listen to her music because I started listening to it. And it's like, it's really good. Like, it's really, and it's very different as well. Like, you know, sometimes I'm into like the, you know, like bassy, whatever kind of stuff. But it's very different to that. I really like
it. Yeah, I've listened to it. It's just good.
Yeah. There you go.
But anyway. In terms of where I rank it, in terms of biopics, I would say Elvis and Walk the Line are probably two of my better ones at the moment. This is probably near Rocket Man.
Yeah.
So, you know, in terms, like, it is good, but it's not one of my favourite biopics. I'm not saying those ones are the best I've ever seen.
So I didn't realise you liked Walk the Line that
much. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
And it made me listen to Johnny Cash and... June Carter Cash. So.
Yeah. I kind of want to watch it again. Like, I don't know why. I feel like I'll end up watching it again in my own time before work or something.
I remember watching it, and like, by that point, I think I was probably in the fatigue of like biopics, because that's the typical...
Did we all watch it together?
We did. It was just on the movie nights.
Why
we
don't
watched
we just
it.
Do every single thing?
I'm always here. Just imagine if... if something's happened, there's probably a 25% chance I was there.
When the camera stops filming, Kieran just sits there all the time. And for the
I can't move physically.
We just get a spare change of clothes every week, and he just does the podcast every week.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah, no, I remember watching that and just thinking, like, again, that felt beat by beat biopic. Like, it starts just as he's about to perform, then it's his life, then it's how he became famous, then it circles back around to that performance, then he has like drug problems, and then he gets better, and then it's Johnny Cash went on to do this, and blah 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 blah. And I was like, that just felt very...
Yes, and it is very... But it doesn't... And that's the thing I don't like about biopics, is that they're the, like, almost the exact same.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these people, and I said this earlier, they have a lot of the same things happen to them across their life because of the world that they're in.
Yeah.
But... You know, when you look at Joaquin Phoenix's performance, when you look at Austin Butler's performance, and they just... You're thinking of Austin Butler's, aren't you? when you just... when you think of that, and, you know, like, just... Especially Austin Butler, because he did, like, an incredible
job. Yeah, he did.
And actually messed up his own... Like, being able to speak as he did.
Yeah.
And was just pretty much Elvis for a while. You know, I think that's, you know, really amicable that they did that. And in the same way, she, in this one, you know, did a very good Amy Winehouse, the person, and then, like, did a pretty good shot at the singing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of my view. But biopics... keep doing something different like this one.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't try and do the same thing.
The trope. Yes. We want different things.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Let's not talk anymore before I start talking about something completely irrelevant.
Well, I think we had a good deep dive on that film. Turns out there was a lot more to talk about than we probably thought. But yeah, it's just a lot of different subjects, different hard hitting things, and just what an experience, I guess. Just
at least the
movie.
Film's provoked some conversation. You know, it means that she's still in memory, and we can all go back and listen to a song.
Yeah, exactly.
God, how fantastic was she? I think that's what she would have wanted.
If you don't want to watch the movie, just go listen to Amy Winehouse's music.
Yeah,
you
if
know?
You're thinking,
just, like,
oh,
go do that.
This woman's never going to live to Amy Winehouse, fine. Just go and listen to it.
Yeah, it's like you've got that to fall back on, haven't you? Yeah.
Think about it, you know.
But also don't trust the 1 out of 10 reviews because they're
not correct. It's definitely not like the worst thing that's ever happened and the worst thing that's ever been made. Like, it is not. It's actually just a good, whether it's the best film, obviously you do. Anyway, repeating ourselves. Let's stop talking.
Yeah, but anyway, go watch it, form your opinion. Next week, we're going to be covering the Zendaya movie. Challenges.
Are we going to watch it? Yeah. Oh, is that a promise that we're going to watch it?
Yes. For you, dear viewer, we will be watching it.
Are you going to be there? When are we watching it?
Well, you're going to be square.
I just keep forgetting when you're not here.
Karen's got a busy schedule, so you might not.
You'll be here.
Yeah.
But there you go. That was what we thought about Back to Black. So thank you very much for joining and listening to this episode. Next week, we're going to be talking about Challengers, which is the Zendaya movie about tennis. And
that's
what
you need to say.
Tennis.
It's the Zendaya tennis movie.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that. So we will catch you next week. I've been Tulip.
I've been Michael.
And I've been Kieran.